Hey everybody, it's been so long. Let's see if I can remember how to do this. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the main host and frontman for the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And today we are going to be talking about Avatar, The Way of the Water. Or, if you so wish, Avatar, The Way of Moana. So, depending on how you want to look at it, yes, I'm doing another review episode. But I know. I want to get at least one episode out before the end of the year, and mine will be this. So let's talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. And for all of you out there who have not seen it, spoilers. You have been warned. If you want to go out and watch this 3 hour and 15 minute movie, that's up to you. Longer if you have ads in front of it. So let's get on down to brass tacks. What are the good things about this movie? It's beautiful. It's a decent story. It has decent actors and actresses in it. And everything has been well played. But that seems to be about the end of everything. There is a lot of nitpicks to this. And what can I say? Let's get into some of the nitpicks. Let's get into some of the bad. And let's talk about some of the controversy that has been going around about this movie. Yes, like everything nowadays, there has been controversy. But we'll get into that before we get into everything else. I will say this before we get into the negativity and the bad stuff about this movie, or found not so much problematic, but I found annoying. And what's mostly annoying is the plot holes about this movie and a lot of what James Cameron tried to do. But before all that, I will say this is one of the things I did enjoy. It's like I've always enjoyed not just the movies, it's sometimes the people that are around me reacting to the movie. And one of the things that I enjoyed was the same thing that I enjoyed from Batman versus Superman when that came out. And I've said this on the show is that one of the things I enjoyed is when my bad, I should have my geek card removed. When Wonder Woman finally came on screen, did the, in essence, the Wakanda Forever symbol, and kind of stopped everything, I had a 6-year-old girl behind me go, yes! And that was so, made me so happy just hearing a 6-year-old girl react to seeing Wonder Woman on screen in uniform. And this time around, there was a bunch of young kids with their parents watching this movie. And during it was one of the final battle sequences, I hear this kid behind me going, yeah, that's what you get, yo. And I had to laugh at that because it was just so on point to what happened in the movie. That's what you want to get in a movie. It happens so many times. It happened with Endgame when we had people crying and the sorrow. We had people doing it in Infinity War. Not just Endgame and Infinity War and the whole nine yards. We've had it countless times with other movies. So this is not so different. But the issues I've had with this movie is a lot. Mainly because it seemed like prior to writing this movie out, he met with Sam Raimi and John Carpenter and said, guys, I've been having a writer's block with this movie. I'm not good with sequels. You guys have done sequels before. Oh, what do I have to do? What can I do? And they looked at James. They said, well, if this is the second sequel that you're writing for something you wrote before, right? And he said, yes. So you're not counting, you didn't do the first Alien movie, right? And he went, nope. You know, it's like, okay, we just got to make sure. So, if you want, you can take a page of our playbook that we did in the past. And he's like, what? Do the same movie. Just alter it a little bit. Plagiarize yourself. So basically, yeah, that's what he did. Instead of going the way of plagiarizing in a way Dances with Wolves, he plagiarized himself, because there were a lot of points in this movie that were almost point for point what he did in the first Avatar. And the reason why I brought up Sam Raimi and John Carpenter is because I know a lot of you young folks that might be listening to this show, if you do listen to this show, is that Sam Raimi, when he first did Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, if you watch both of them back to back, you'll notice them both are pretty much the same movie, just slightly different. Now, with John Carpenter, if you watch Escape from New York, then watch Escape from L.A., you'll notice a lot of aspects are point for point. It's the same damn movie, just updated a little bit in a different location. That's what this feels like, Avatar feels like, that James Cameron tried to redo Avatar just in a different location. And that was my feeling that I got throughout the whole film. It's like, wait, this, yes, I'm sniffing, this smells like the first Avatar, but it has that new movie smell to it. What the hell? And the whole aspect of this is that that's not the only issue that was problematic with this. Before we get into the other nitpicks, is that we'll save it for then. The other nitpicks is the fact that there were other, it was like plot holes for it. Just hold on a second. I have to bring something up, ladies and gentlemen. As I was saying, one of the major nitpicks is that, or I should say that I had, was that it was filled with plot holes. Yeah, every movie that is out there has plot holes. But the plot holes in this was like, so big. It's just, they had stuff that they could have done to bring back characters, or everything else was, you know, it's just, they could have done things differently. Like, one of the things that they did was the whole aspect of memory transfers. For those of you who watched the first Avatar know what I'm talking about. Pretty much, Jake Sully got his, because he was still living at, yeah, spoilers for the last Avatar, but it's been 12 years, or at least close to 12 years. Spoilers should not be in effect by now. The sequel's already out. Pretty much, Jake Sully had his brain transferred from his regular body to his Avatar body in the first film at the end. And in this one, the Colonel, played by none other than Stephen Lang. Good actor. I like what he's done in the past. But still, he makes a comeback. But somehow, prior to the last mission in the first Avatar, he backed up his entire brain and personality to, in essence, a hard drive. Had it shipped back to Earth, so he can make an appearance. That's his excuse. Now, yeah, he makes an appearance. He comes back for Avatar 2. Yeah, Stephen Lang, who played Colonel Miles in the first film, makes a comeback as Colonel Miles in this film. And again, a lot of you saying, like, how is that possible? Didn't his character die in the first film? But as I was saying, yes, he died in the first film, but prior to that last mission, he backed up his brain to a hard disk, so to speak, had that hard disk shipped back to Earth, just in case something happened to him during that last mission, which happened. So in this one, when he made that comeback, he came back in an Avatar body. So his whole brain was downloaded into an Avatar body. That being said, the first Avatar didn't need to happen. Literally, it did not need to happen. Because during the whole process, Jake Sully's twin brother prior, just in case, oh, you're going out on leave, let's back up your brain to make sure you are okay and nothing happens to you, and we could send your avatar to Pandora with your brain intact so you're able to do what you need to do. But no! No, it in essence contradicts the first film. And that being said, they could have brought back Sigourney Weaver's Dr. Gray's character. She could have played a dual role as not only Dr. Grace, and they could have used her voice to play her daughter. In essence, her hybrid daughter. So, I mean, it's like, wow, what the hell? And not to mention, apparently, in this film, somehow during either the first film or during his time on Pandora, the Colonel, Stephen Lang's character, impregnated one of the human employees there and knocked her up, and she gave birth on Pandora. And because she couldn't take the baby with her, the baby had to stay. Okay? Really? Wow, that's weird. That's, you know, that's... It just made for something different. You know, it was just like, a lot of times it was a what the aspect. And there were other times like, oh, if you were an avatar prior, or if you're an avatar now, you're able to breathe a dual atmosphere. Meaning, if you walk into the base of one of the humans' base, you know, the base that we had on Pandora, or the humans had on Pandora, you didn't need to breathe. You could breathe the regular human atmosphere for a few hours. You didn't need a mask. But humans need a mask instantaneously if they're going outside. So, that's a plot point that could have been used last time. Like, James didn't think this shit through. So, stuff like that took you out of the movie. Especially if you've seen the early one prior to seeing the sequel. But, that's one of the few things. And instead of coming back and mining everything and coming back, no. They want to colonize the planet. And not just that, instead of mining it again for the mineral that's like $2 million an ounce. And no, this time around, and again, whereas the first film was strip mining bad, this time around, whaling bad. Because in this time around, they go after the large whale type creatures that are on this planet for a type of hormone or oil that these creatures produce that it can make humans practically immortal, i.e. never die. I guess if you stab somebody or unalive somebody, you'll die. Or if you get sick or from cancer, you will die. But other than that, if you're living a normal, healthy lifestyle, you'll take this. I don't know if it's a one-time shot or you have to take it multiple times, you know, a year or something like that. But all in all, you can live forever and ever and ever and ever. But that's what makes it the same type of movie. And it makes me sad or fearful of if there's going to be a 3. On that note, it's called a segue. Let's get into some of the controversies about this movie and what's been going on. First and foremost, this movie has to break, if not meet or break, $2 billion. That's right, $2 billion in order to break even. Not make money, break even. Yeah, you heard me correct. That's billion with the B to break with the B even. And according to what's currently going on in the polls, because it's more than a week since this movie's out, going on a week, and the first week out, it barely hit expectations. The expectations for the United States box office, it should have been like $150 million. It came in maybe about $120, $130 million. It kind of underperformed. And one of the other aspects of this movie is that it seems like James Cameron wanted to push it being in 3D, which is also hurting it. James, this goes out to you. 3D is no more. It's sunk like the Titanic. I'm sure you know about the Titanic. I'm sure of it. You made a movie about it. You went down in a sub and looked at it yourself. It's underwater. It's not floating around somewhere. It's sunk. You trying to bring back something that has been sunk for the better part of 5 years. It's not coming back. I don't know why you want this movie to come back. This type of format to come back. Well, 3D is the thing. No! No! Quit being an idiot. It's bad enough you're a scumbag to fans, which we'll get to in a moment. 3D is not making a comeback. And for those who remember 3D, a lot of the aspects, yeah, Avatar was awesome in 3D. It's good in 2D, but it was awesome in 3D. Back in the 80s, when 3D was, again, a fad, it seems like every so many years, 3D becomes a fad. Maybe it's every 30 years, every 40 years. Back in the 50s, I think it was like the 50s, maybe early 60s, 3D was the king. Then back in the 80s, 3D came back out. If you had the third, if you were making a third movie in your film series, it had to be in 3D. And most of it was, hey, look, do you want some pie? And as they handed over the pie, it would be like, oh, it's going through this to the screen. I could see it in 3D. Yeah, some movies like Space Hunter benefit from it being in 3D. Like Space Hunter. It benefited. There were aspects that made it look, I'm sure it made it look great in 3D. And there are movies out from the 80s like Jaws 3D. That make the effects make it seem so dated and everything else. And if like 5-6 years ago, same deal. There you had movies like Avatar that made things look great. And other movies that just like, hey, look at my yo-yo. And it's a point of view shot from underneath the yo-yo just to do the 3D. James, don't try to make 3D a thing. It's not a thing anymore. But again, $2 billion. $2 billion. Yes, he filmed like Avatar 2, 3, and 4 all at once, and I think he was also wanting to do 5 and 6, but he's kind of putting that off right now and just did 2, 3, and 4. James, the way things are looking, there might not be a 3 and a 4 to be released. Because I don't see, yeah, some of your movies are a slow burn, and yes, it's the holiday season. That's what also hurt this movie. These sequels, Avatar 2, 3, and 4, should have been out 2019, 2020, and last year. But no. The Fox deal pushed everything back. And COVID pushed everything back. These movies should have been out. But everything there's everything running against these movies right now so much. And as stated a few minutes ago, James had to be an asshole. Literally, an asshole. Out of coming, this is the atypical aspect of what's been happening around Hollywood, that a lot of celebrities, whether it be directors, producers, actors, actresses, across the board, has been happening over the past several years. They've been acting like great holier than thou assholes, and when the movie fails or begins to fail, they start to act like victims. James Cameron is too much of a fucking asshole to do this, but there have been a lot of celebrities that played the victim, and directors and producers that played the victim in regards to this. What I mean is that there have been movies in the past that have been done, and that many have been come out and used the tired phrase, get woke, go broke, and they said, hey, we made this movie, it's not for you. And when the folks that said, all right, it's not for me. I'm not going to go if it's not for me. Therefore, I'm not going to like it. And when the movie, in essence, fails and bombs, the people that said the movie is not for you come out and say, why do you have to be so racist? Why do you have to be so phobic? Why didn't you want to see it? Are you afraid of my insert demographic here? And therefore, they're digging themselves deeper and deeper and deeper. And what James did is, in his premiere, coming out from one of his premieres, there were people there asking for his autograph. And instead of saying, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I have to go someplace else to help promote this movie. I'm busy, my schedule's filled up, I'm sorry I can't do this right now. He pretty much snubbed them and walked away, causing the fans to boo. And to boo him, like, and I'm sure one or two fans might have told him, that's a dick move. And what they, in order to say, pretty much, hold my beer, and probably somebody in his limo, after he got him, was like, you have to address your fans. And James did it by rolling down the window, sticking out his arm, and giving everybody the one finger salute. That's right. He pretty much told his fans to go fuck themselves. Is that what you want to do to this? Not only that is going to hurt, because it was recorded, and we live in a 24/7 news cycle, and many people have been spreading that clip out around in the news outlet. Heck, we're talking about it. Yes, we're not a major podcast. We're not Joe Rogan. We're not someone getting 3,000 listens per episode, or anywhere close to 100 listens per episode. But it's getting out there to those who listen. And it can hurt people going and saying, why do I want to start James Cameron in regards to this? He doesn't give a rat's ass by his films, people who want to see his films. And you had people do this before, tank films similar to this. Hell, Jim Carrey, after Kick-Ass 2, when it went during the press circuit, instead of, you know, trying to hype the film up. That's why it kind of Kick-Ass 2, if memory serves, was a bomb. Because he was probably one of the causes, saying, hey, as much as I, you know, was on the film, I don't like this film because it had guns in it. Everybody was using guns. Guns are bad. Guns are bad. And granted that during that time, there could have been a mass shooting, and that had been the narrative to be released. And he could have despite the fact that guns are bad and what current events happened at that time are bad, and you might not advocate about guns, but you could have at least hyped up the movie. And that's James's job, is to hype up the movie and encourage fans by giving fans somewhat, you know, even being slightly apologetic. It's like, hey, I'm busy right now. I have to catch a flight in 10 minutes. I got to get out of here. And giving that type of thing, it's like, hey, even though I didn't get an autograph, at least he was giving something the fans could understand. Not only did that happen, he came out and was like, yes, because there's a part in the film where one of the characters is very visibly pregnant. Maybe in human terms, close to, I want to say 8 months pregnant. Going on maybe 7 months, 8 months pregnant. Many have come out, on at least on some of the sides that I've seen on, that have talked about it. Have mentioned that James has said, yes, a woman who is maybe 7 or 8 months pregnant will go into battle, go into a very dangerous situation, and according to some people that reported on this, saying, yes, they will jump out of planes and do parachuting or bungee jumping, or go into a major life or death situation where they could be stabbed to death and risk the baby's life. Whereas some people have come out who are fathers and mothers saying, no, They wouldn't, because I'm a father. My wife would not have done that, especially being 7 or 8 months pregnant, especially 9 months pregnant when the baby's about to be due. This, and James Cameron's statement in regards to that, is someone definitely that does not have a child of their own or has never been a parent in their life. That's another aspect. And what other, on top of all that, you have the atypical bandwagon folks. And what I mean by that is that you have folks that are like, I see some of the avatars have, and Na'vi have braids. Therefore, they're appropriating black culture. And this, that, and the atypical folks that have to say something like that. I'll say this. There is one creator that I want to say he probably would have more of a point in regards to, or he, I respect this creator. He's from TikTok. He was replying to a comment that was left on his channel. Because I think he did a review about Avatar, non-spoiler review. And the comment read was, I think the comment that was put on his one of his videos was, I think the real ugly about Avatar is that it's white people under that. Another creator said it's like if white people were successful in Get Out. Now, that being said, let me give you his reply.
This is not just a spoiler warning, it is a content warning. If you are a very big fan of Avatar, please just scroll on. I'm going to be very critical of it, and I don't have the patience to have it out with you in the comments. It'll be better for both of us. But seriously, spoiler warning, Avatar Way of Water. Ready? This comment exactly points out my issue with the original film and the franchise as a whole. And it also harkens back to something I noticed when I first left a comment about it being a white savior film on one of my mutual's videos, and was swarmed with comments saying, actually, he gives up his whiteness to become the savior, so that makes it good. Which is a mentality I find so odd, because not only does Jake Sully becoming a Na'vi not make the story better, it makes it worse. And that's because it's still a story about white people lusting for minority bodies and minority experiences. It is a very sort of Get Out style, I would have voted for Obama a third time if I could, kind of racism that flies more under the radar than the overt stuff. Because Avatar is a story that is grounded in whiteness, and I cannot stress enough that I do not mean just because James Cameron is white. The actual fundamental story itself does not focus on the Na'vi in their struggle, it focuses on a white man fitting into that struggle. As many people have pointed out, even in the comments to my review, which this is from, it is a story about a man turning against his own kind in order to do what's right. It is a fantasy about being a part of a systemic, horrible system, but being so morally good and superior that you are cleansed of all of your complicitness and adopted into the oppressed community. The dream of being such a good ally that you cease to be just an ally. It's part of why I like the subplot in Way of Water better, because that's actually about the Na'vi and their struggles. But even then, there's this whole weird thing with them being half-breeds and torn between both sides. And the fucking human kid, Spider, who's trying to walk the same damn line, who literally gets adopted into the Na'vi family at the end of the film. But I digress. The point is, as long as the films keep coming back to the story of how brave Jake Sully is for standing with the Na'vi, and how tragic his story is, and how he gave up his community and his culture and everything else because they were so evil and he was so good, it's just not going to be an engaging story. I don't find that interesting. If this was a series simply about the Na'vi going up against humans, I think I would like it more. But the fact that the focal point is on the human identity and on a human being learning that these people are worth something, I don't care. I just don't give a shit. But that's personal taste. And if you do really like Avatar and you stuck all the way through this despite my warning at the beginning, I'm not coming at you. I really don't care. I'm just explaining my viewpoint.
Okay, I'm back. Two things before we get. Both end up to the same conclusion or same thing. Am I going to give you the creator's name on TikTok? No. And do you, if you, and that also leads me, if you know who the creator is by the sound of his voice, either way, don't go after him. He's a good creator. I like what he does. He's a wonderful creator. And that's his viewpoint, and he's allowed to have his viewpoint on the movie. But I am going to say this, since the show has an email account, which is the the email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And plus, we do have a Facebook page. I'm going to put up promoting this episode, that this episode is now available to listen to. Go, and I'll try to pin that episode to our show's page on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/The Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and leave a comment on the pinned post in regards to what you think this creator, whether they're right, they're wrong, or what have you. You can discuss it in that comment section on Facebook. So, that's what I want you guys and gals to do if you want to talk about this. Not to mention, if you're listening to this episode on podbean.com, on our Podbean page, I'm sure you can leave comments there. Please, you're welcome to leave comments there and what you thought, whether this creator was right, wrong, indifferent, what have you. You're allowed to do that. That's your choice. Please keep it civil and nice. Please, we don't want any threats or anything like that in our comment section. I'd rather have peaceful, logical discussions on our comments. But now down to the point. There have been many people on both sides. Both sides love this film. A lot of the nitpicks, from what I've seen for the most part, are what I've said. You know, some of the aspects, but a lot of folks are coming out in regards to, yeah, you're culturally appropriating blue people. You don't have, these are not true blue people. I think one creator came out and said, where are we going to find blue aliens? There are no blue aliens, 7-foot-tall blue aliens with carbon fiber bones on this planet. That's kind of hard to do. You have crazy stuff like that, but still. And with that, I am going to end this episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Yes, we have one other episode that we're kind of sort of working on right now. And hopefully I'll be motivated to get it done and probably be the first episode of the new year. We've been working hard on our YouTube channel and our TikTok channel over the past few days, weeks, and months. So we hope you will go there and check it out. Check out what we've been doing. As of recording this, we had one video just drop, and we'll have a bunch more shorts drop over the next few days. So I hope you go there and enjoy what we've been putting out. And I'm the Rev, and see you when I see you again. Take care.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.